Bubble surprises what we want with the Memphis pick, and we redraft the best defensive lineup you're ever going to see. It's a Mailbag Monday on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here of Mass Live, thanking you once again for making this show part of your daily routine. We're kicking off the week with a Monday mailbag. It's been a little while since we've done a mailbag here on this podcast, and I thought, hey, the NBA's coming back. There's a lot going on. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe I have some answers. So I put out the call, you answered the call, and sent a nice array and different mix of questions, some fun, some serious. So I figured, let's just do it. Let's answer these questions. Let's dive right in. Going to start with @Gates_Ben. Which Celtic is most likely to lose their mind in the bubble and break rules by sneaking out? That's like a popular question amongst everybody in the NBA. Who's going to sneak out? Who's going to get busted? So looking at the Celtics roster, I don't think any of the main people are going to do it. We've got some very level-headed people. Kemba, Gordon, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart. I think they get it. I think they understand what's at stake. I think they understand how to take it seriously. I don't think they're going to go nuts and break the rules. It's going to be somebody else. It's going to be somebody, I think, that what draws you to break the rules? You're on the bench. You're bored. Maybe you're not playing. So who's got that personality to go like, you know what? Let me see. Let me see what I can do. I'm looking at two guys, Javonte Green and Robert Williams. And I think those two guys might do it inadvertently. Like, I don't think they might even know that they're breaking rules. I think they may just be having fun and find out that they've crossed the line. And like, next thing you know, they're, you know, a mile outside of the bubble and they look around and go, oh crap. How do we get back in without getting caught? Those are the guys I think that are the prime suspects on the Boston Celtics. And again, I think they would do it like absent-mindedly. They would just have like fun. They would just be bored. Let's go do something. And they like go to a golf course. And next thing you know, they're at like, I don't know, Disney. So I'd start naming things, but I feel like they'd be the ones that start going down, like, let's just go down this path. Let's go down that path. And next thing you know, they're in downtown Orlando wondering, like, where, how the hell did they get there? So that's my guess. @Buckner's Revenge, great Twitter name, by the way. Which of the Williams brothers sees more time in the playoffs? So I'm assuming that is Grant versus Robert. And I would say, so now it's a good question because Grant's a rookie and Robert Williams is somebody, assuming he's healthy, and later on, let me just fold this question in from Rita, @SmileyJogger, update on Time Lord. Are all the player injuries healed? Will there be minutes restrictions on any of the players? So as far as Robert Williams goes, I don't think there are any minutes restrictions necessarily. It's been a few months. I think all the players' injuries are healed. I don't think there's anything that's lingering. He was working his way back in as it was, and we've seen some videos of him not working out, but at the practice facility. I think he's fine. I don't know that there are any injuries. And @DallaPappas asked, have you heard anything regarding the status of Kemba's knee? A fully healthy Kemba would be a huge boost for the playoffs. I think everybody is okay, and everybody's nagging injuries, anything that's been kind of, you know, the type of stuff that makes people say, well, nobody's 100% in April. I think all of those things are gone. Like, everybody's healthy. So the question as far as Kemba goes, I'm a little derailed here, but as far as Kemba goes, it's whether he has that burst. So he's not hurt. The injury is gone. Does he have the strength? And hopefully he's been building up that strength. We'll have to see. Now that we're getting closer to individual workouts being mandatory, we're going to start to see a little bit. But back to Robert Williams and back to the question from Buckner's Revenge. Which of the Williams brothers sees more time in the playoffs? I think that even though he's a rookie, Grant still understands the job. Like, he knows what his job is, and he's going to be, I think, just solid. And the Celtics need a solid guy to go in and play, and I think he's going to be given a chance. Especially in those seeding games, I think he's going to be given an opportunity to go in and be solid. Set picks, rebound, box out, play defense, be in the right place, be in the right position. What tips the scale in his favor, and it's close, is that Robert Williams' weakness is Grant Williams' strength. That, and vice versa to some degree, because Robert Williams' strength is Grant Williams' weakness in that he has the physical tools, the just insane athletic ability. But in the playoffs, the athletic ability can work against you. And it's Grant Williams' strengths that are more playoff important, that the ability to think through things, understand situation, understand what's needed. Robert Williams is getting better at that stuff, but he's still not there yet. I just think that Grant Williams is a smarter basketball player, partly because he doesn't have the same physical gifts. It always works kind of that way. If you've got the physical gifts, you can get away with not having some of the basketball IQ, let's say. And it's not to say that Robert Williams doesn't have it. It's just Grant Williams has, he's a very, very smart player. Like, everybody who watches and plays with Grant knows that he's a very, very smart player. So I will take the very, very smart player over the physically gifted player in a situation like this. So I, even though he's a rookie, I think Grant sees more time. And this is the interesting part about this bubble and their return. They were building up. Part of the Celtics' plan was to start building up the minutes. Brad Stevens, and there's a question about Brad Stevens later on, but Brad Stevens has been limiting guys' minutes. Like, they have a plan. He understands that this is a marathon. They have a plan for guys' minutes. And right about the time where the league shut down was when the Celtics were going to start really ramping up the minutes so guys can get used to playoff minutes. And that might hurt Daniel Tice more than some other guys because he's not a big minutes guy. Like, he's not a guy that goes out there and plays 30 some odd minutes a game anyway. He's averaging 24 minutes a game. And in the playoffs, they're going to need him to play 34 minutes a game, 36 minutes a game, maybe. It's a little matchup dependent. Like, maybe there will be some matchups where he doesn't play that much and they'll have to rely on Enes Kanter and maybe Robert Williams. But Daniel Tice has been such an important part of this team. And so I think his minutes will go up, which means less minutes for Robert Williams. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics use this time, how they use the training camp, how they use their preseason games, how they use the seeding games. Do they go for that second seed? What do they do? What's more important, the seeding, their matchup, or getting the guys ready to play enough minutes? Because it's hard to ramp them up and do what they were trying to do in a sort of in a regular season game versus what they're going to be looking at here. I'm going to get to that. There's another question here coming up. I'll expand on that in a minute. Let me get to Michaela Fallon, at Michaela Fallon. Her question: what Celtics player do you think will surprise people immediately upon the NBA's return? So what's the element of surprise? What are your expectations, right? Surprise is a matter of expectations versus performance. So if Kemba goes off, we're going to be surprised by that? Not really. None of these guys, it's going to have to be one of the guys off the bench. Who's going to surprise coming off the bench? We're not going to be surprised if Tatum goes off. Jaylen Brown was a borderline all-star. Gordon Hayward was figuring himself out. Smart, Kemba. Like, unless Marcus Smart averages 35 points a game, which he won't, maybe Daniel Tice is going to be a candidate because he's going to be the one guy that they leave in that starting five. You figure if Daniel Tice beats you, if I'm an opponent, if Daniel Tice beats you, then Daniel Tice beats you. And Daniel Tice is capable of beating a team on an odd night where you leave him alone. So Daniel Tice is one guy that's definitely in the high surprise probability factor. The next surprise candidate will have to come off of the bench, right? Who off the bench that you don't expect to perform will perform? Well, I don't expect that Brad Wanamaker is going to go crazy. I don't expect that Enes Kanter is going to have a huge performance. And even if he does, let's even assume that Enes Kanter does. He's had that history in the past of stepping up. He did it last year for the Trailblazers when he was hurt and he stepped up. So people won't be surprised necessarily. Who am I looking at on the bench that can be a surprise? It's probably going to be somebody like Semi Ojeleye, who averaged 14 minutes a game when he played. He's going to be another guy that teams probably leave. And if he can hit threes the way he's capable of hitting threes, if he can get hot, then Semi can be a guy that swings a series. And when I say swing a series, I'm not saying dominate a series. I'm saying like the series was even between these two teams and Semi Ojeleye came in and he's averaging 3 points a game and he averaged 11, let's say, in this series. And you're like, wow, I didn't expect him to average almost four times his season average for points per game. So Semi is a guy that's a candidate to be a surprise. So I think Tice can be a bit of a surprise. And I think that would be kind of an interesting story, because that will start the, hey, you know, he's always been an important kind of guy for this team type of narrative. Like the national broadcast will be like, we didn't talk about it that much. People didn't talk about it that much during the regular season, but Daniel Tice has been really important. And that will start those things. So I will say Daniel Tice number one and Semi Ojeleye number two. Going to come back with a series of questions as far as the future of this team, the Memphis pick. We're going to do that when we return on the Locked On Celtics podcast. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That is why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. In the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your donation along with us, please visit LockedOnPodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. There is an opportunity for you in this insane world to actually better yourself and learn a few things if you only had the time or a way to make better use of the time. That's where the Blinkist app comes in. It is a really unique app that works with your phone, tablet, or web browser, and it gives you the opportunity to sit down and read and learn more, even if you don't have the free time. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. That's an important part. Successful people read books. Smart people read books. The people who get ahead read books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you, like me, who want to get to the main points of a book quickly so you can start using the information right away. And with its audio feature, like I just said, Blinkist makes it very easy to finish a book during a commute, a lunch break, a workout, a walk. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library, self-help, business, history, health, the latest titles from bestseller lists. Blinkist even has the classic nonfiction titles that you've always meant to read but have never had time to. I've been telling you for a while, I've used Blinkist in a number of different ways. I'm sitting on the beach, I'll pop on my headphones, I can listen to a Blinkist book or two in just 15 or 30 minutes. On a ride, on a long road trip, you can load them up, you can read a lot. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want to read for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for the Locked On Celtics audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and 25% off your new subscription. I am a subscriber. That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Back to your questions with the hashtag LOCeltics. You know, just use that hashtag. It's very easy for me to click on that hashtag and go through and get the questions. I go through the replies too, but sometimes I can miss those. So use the hashtag to ask your questions and I'll answer them here. As the NBA returns, start to answer more questions. Ricardo Araújo of Portugal has a number of questions. He has three. So we'll start with this. In terms of skill set and potential, who could be more helpful for the Celtics in the near future, Tremont Waters or Carson Edwards? It's an interesting question. I like Carson Edwards' potential because he can get hot and he can hit a bunch of shots. My question about Carson Edwards in the NBA is, can he find a way to get hot quicker and not have to take as many shots? Because he's a classic example, it feels like, of a guy who needs to shoot his way into a rhythm. And I don't think he's ever going to be playing enough minutes to shoot his way into a rhythm. You see it in the G League. You see it sometimes in the NBA when he gets those minutes. But can he find a way mentally to come in, even if he misses a shot, start hit? Like, he needs to be the 2-for-4 or 3-for-7 from three kind of guy, like in limited minutes. Like, he needs to get hot quicker. So until he can do that, I'm going to go with Tremont Waters just because both are undersized and Carson's a bit stronger, more solid, but Tremont is just, his feel for the game is so good. It's so good that I can't look past that. His natural feel for running the point is better than Carson Edwards' natural ability to shoot the ball. And Carson can shoot the hell out of the ball, but Tremont has a special gift when it comes to being a point guard. He can be a tremendous point guard. I really do believe that. Now, he does have the size issue. He does sometimes try to force things, and he has a little bit of a turnover problem. Does he have enough capital built up in his natural abilities to stick around the NBA? Or does he need to go overseas and dominate some European league, which he can do? He can absolutely do. I mean, the guy was the G League Rookie of the Year. And I know if you go through the list of G League Rookies of the Year, there are a ton of guys who don't really make it in the NBA. But you're still a great basketball player. So I still believe in Tremont over Carson. Ricardo also asks, what have been Brad Stevens' biggest strengths and weaknesses in his NBA career? I touched on it a little bit earlier, but his biggest strength, I think, is he has an understanding of what the NBA is. It's hard for a lot of college coaches to come into the league and have this understanding, but Brad, I think, came in and learned very quickly that the NBA is a grind. 82 games is a lot. These players are different than the players that you're dealing with in college. The infusion of millions of dollars takes this league and changes it from just basketball to a business. And Brad Stevens understands and respects all of that. And I think that's his biggest strength. Aside from the X's and O's, he's a tremendous defensive coach. He's a tremendous, he has a tremendous ability to connect with these guys, but it starts with his respect of the NBA game and what that means for not just him, but his coaches, the front office, the players, and his understanding that at this level, you're talking about grown men. You're talking about teams that change every year. Even if there's minimal turnover, there's still turnover. And there's always something. And just because you have the same group of guys, even if there was zero turnover, you can have that same group of guys from year one to year two. And that year two is a completely different dynamic because guys get a year older. They get a year closer to their contract expiring. They become free agents. Maybe they're a year away. Maybe their attitude changes. Maybe what happened last year isn't cool with them this year. So even if, and I know this is a zero chance possibility, but even if you had no turnover from one year to the next, you could have a completely different team because of how guys mature, how contracts work, how the league business works, different things, different influences. So he does respect that. And I think he has a good grasp of that. That's his biggest strength. His biggest weakness, I think, when we go into like game management, some of his in-game stuff, I think he has this feeling. Like we're going down to the timeout road. I think he has this feeling a lot during games where he wants guys to figure things out on their own. And this might be part of the, and I'm a huge, huge believer in your biggest strength being your biggest weakness. And his biggest strength is that respect for these guys. And part of that respect for these guys is, you know what? I want them to figure it out. I respect them enough to figure it out. And I believe they can figure it out. And I need them to figure it out on their own. So I'm not going to call this timeout to stop this run. I'm not going to call this timeout after they hit because I need this. I need these guys on the floor to figure it out on their own rather than me step in and enforce it. And I think sometimes Brad needs to step in because he's part of the team as well. They all need to work in concert with one another. And sometimes stopping that run himself is like, and this is just my take. Like, I feel like he sees this as I need them to figure it out. And he needs to understand that it's a 6-person team or a 12-person team. When you throw in all the assistant coaches and stuff, his calling a timeout, his stopping a play, his stopping a run is part of the team dynamic. And I think as a player, sometimes you kind of expect your coach to call a timeout. And if they don't, it can be like, oh, we're playing through this. Oh, okay. You almost have to regroup a little bit. So I think some of the game management stuff is still eluding him. But I think it's just if I'm picking on something that he does, that's my take. And I'm sure he has a different opinion of that, but my take is what I just said. At Coach Feeney, should Boston fans hope Memphis misses the playoff and wins the lottery? The West should be stronger next year, meaning the Memphis pick could be in the 10 to 12 range in a much stronger 2021 draft as opposed to 14 to 16 this year. Plus, it gives Danny an extra year to use it as a potential trade asset. So the answer to that is yes, the Celtics fans should hope that Memphis misses the playoffs and wins the lottery, because that first round pick is protected through 1 through 6 this year. So if they can get the next year's draft, and I'm not a draft guy, I'm not going to pretend to be a draft guy. The experts say next year's draft is supposed to be better and deeper. This year's is more top heavy. If the Celtics can get this pick to fall in the 1 through 6 range, then that gives them an unprotected pick next year. So 2021 is unprotected if Memphis falls 1 through 6 this year. So would we rather have next year's pick, even if next year's pick is the same number as this year's pick? So let's say you could have gotten the 13th pick in this year's draft, but through this weirdness, they end up missing and they get lucky and they get the 6th pick overall. And next year you get the 13th pick. Well, next year's 13th pick I think is more valuable than this year's because that's a deeper draft. You also have the Grizzlies are 32-33 right now. They're the 8th seed in the West. Very unexpected. Fun team. I think a fun team this year, I'm looking at the Sacramento Kings. A fun team this year can be a little bit of a disappointing team next year. Sacramento last year was the fun team, and now they're 28-36 going into this restart. They're not going to participate. So they finished at 28-36. They won 44% of their games. I think Memphis has the potential to have some of that Sacramento thing happening. I think there are some, like, you're not going to get exponential growth. You're not going to get linear growth from everybody on this Grizzlies team. So even though they were surprising and fun, like, okay, Ja Morant isn't going to, maybe he's not going to be as great as he was next year because defenses are going to key in on him and maybe he's going to take a step back. Jaren Jackson Jr., not going to have that same next step. Who knows? What's the impact of Justice Winslow on this team? Like, what do they go through as a team mentally? Like I was just saying, the same team 1 year to the next is not the same. Things change. Ja Morant, we don't know what going through this year and having that great rookie season, what that's going to mean for him next year. What's he going to feel like is his? What's he going to feel like is his opportunity? Is he going to fight over this being his team? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's in his head. So take that chance. I'd rather roll the dice on the unprotected pick next year because maybe they don't make the playoffs next year and maybe they fall deeper into the draft lottery and maybe that gives the Celtics a better chance, which, to Coach Feeney's point, makes it a more tradable pick. One more question here before we take a break. It's a combination of questions. At Patrick S1591 asks, what's needed for the Celtics to take that next final step for serious championship contention? Or would you say they're already there? And at Imonis1, Michael X, how do the Celtics win the next world championship? What's the next thing that these guys need? I think they need another couple of good role players. Assuming that the whole core stays together, assuming that Gordon Hayward comes back and is Gordon Hayward over the next few years, the Gordon Hayward at his best, the guy who was averaging 20 points a game before he broke his hand. So even if you get a guy in Gordon Hayward that averages 17 points a game and does what Gordon Hayward does, you have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I don't know what their next steps are. You'd like to think they'd take linear steps forward, but don't know. But they seem to be the core two guys. Kemba, I think we know what we're getting in Kemba. Marcus Smart is Marcus Smart. Like, we know what we're getting in Marcus Smart. So those guys are great. They need a little bit more help. They need a little bit more scoring off the bench. A good role player off the bench that can come in and give you 10 points a game. A good role player off the bench that can be a good kind of defensive swingman. Somebody that can kind of come in for Tatum, come in for Brown, kind of be interchangeable. Another one of those kind of switchy wings. They need another one of those guys off the bench that's cool with playing 20 minutes a game, that can defend and hit, like a 3-and-D guy. Like, I think that's the next step. If the Celtics with this core can get a couple of those pieces off the bench, then we're talking. Now we're talking. Okay. Jason Tatum is ascending. Can he keep that going? The bubble, this resumption of the season is going to be very interesting. If he can come into this and play well, if he can come in and be the same type of Tatum that he was before the break, whew, that really bodes well, because the layoff will not have set him back. So Tatum taking that step, staying in that lane. Brown ascending to an all-star level guy. He's already an all-star level guy, but like a guy that actually makes the all-star team and not a guy who is good enough to make the all-stars team but didn't. I think if Brown can take that next step forward, and he's kind of there, then those two guys plus Kemba, with Gordon as a very, very, very high-end borderline all-star supporting guy, Marcus Smart as a defensive player of the year candidate, all defense kind of guy. You throw a couple of role players into that mix, man, the Celtics go from that second tier, whatever that you want to say, that Milwaukee and the two LA teams are like the top tier. The Celtics are in that next tier. The Celtics with a couple of really good role players take that jump and join those teams. And we'll see what those teams do for next year. But I think the Celtics with a couple of good role players take that jump. Going to come back, going to redraft the past couple of drafts, and I'm going to give you maybe the best defensive team the world has ever seen. I want to also tell you about Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. They are raising the bar right now with a new, improved Built Bar. So go check it out and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase. I've already got 3 boxes of Built Bars that I've paid for with my own money. They taste great. There are a bunch of different flavors. They are great for like a breakfast. You wake up in the morning, perfect for me, perfect breakfast. Cup of coffee, a glass of water, a Built Bar and a banana. You get all of the protein without a ton of calories, without a ton of extra carbs or sugars. The banana gives you those good vitamins that you're looking for. That's perfect. That gives you all the energy you're going to need to start your day. You can also use it after a workout to get those nutrients, that protein in, to help repair the muscles that you've damaged in a good way during your workout. There are a ton of flavors, nut-free flavors, gluten-free flavors, and like I said, they are changing the formula to make a great Built Bar even better. So go to BuiltBar.com, check out what they've got in store, and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Final segment of your questions using the hashtag LO Celtics. At Bob Imberman, assuming they play, which individual and team qualities matter more and which mean less than usual given the situation? Are these effects larger or smaller than individual fitness levels and Avery Bradley's? So, assuming he means Avery Bradley, says guys who opt out. The individual and team qualities that matter the most under these circumstances, I believe, are all mental. The NBA is asking guys to do a lot, to do a lot of things differently, to go down to Florida in the midst of a COVID explosion and to act differently than they have in years. Not since their days of AAU traveling tournaments have these guys been in a situation like this. Who can overcome the months of isolation, the months of these rules, the months away from family members? Now, some family members can join them, but months away from home, the creature comforts, sleeping in your own bed, familiar rides to the arena, going home, understanding that when you get there, even if you're feeling like shit, there's going to be a crowd full of green jerseys that's going to be around you. Who can overcome that and have the mental focus to execute a game plan? There's not going to be a crowd when you're down two in a critical game in what should be a home game. There's not going to be a crowd to give you that boost. And I'll tell you that, and that adrenaline boost is real. Can you find it in yourself as a player to dig down to find these are, it seems like a lot of cliches, but can you find it? Can you reach into a place where most human beings can't reach? Can you find a boost when you're exhausted? Can you find it in yourself to make that play? It's the Marcus Smart type of play, but Marcus Smart's not the only guy who can make it. Who's going to make that play? That fingertip deflection that is the difference between them getting a clean shot when you're up two and you forcing a turnover to seal a pivotal game three. That's what matters the most to me. In this weird place, in this weird situation, who has it upstairs? Who has it in their head? Who has it in their heart to make that play, to make those plays throughout the game? Who can overcome the weirdness of all of this? And who submits? Who just says, this is too weird. I can't do it. I can't get over no fans being in the stands. That's going to be the most important thing. The teams, the players who can do that are going to be the teams that succeed. We're looking at rosters full of guys of very similar talent. It's that mentality that pushes the best of the best forward. Who can find it? Who can get that energy? Who can get that boost? Who can make that play? Those are going to be the winners. At Ian McDonald, how would you redo the 2018-19 drafts for the Celtics based on what you've seen since? So 2018 comes down to a question of Robert Williams. Now, Robert Williams was drafted 27th in 2018. So I'm going to use the Celtics' own thinking. They wanted a guy that they wanted the center. I'm not sure that they were drafting for position, but they took a center. They had a guy that they were looking at as a potential role guy. Everybody saw him as one of those pick and roll kind of players, a Clint Capella type. Well, he was picked 27th, and I'm looking at Mitchell Robinson picked in the second round. So Mitchell Robinson is a little bit more game ready, NBA ready than Robert Williams is. Mitchell Robinson is a really good defender, disruptive, super athlete. Maybe not quite as athletic as Robert Williams, but he's bigger and he's pretty close. So I think in 2018, I might have gone Mitchell Robinson over Robert Williams. You still have the same type of pick and roll type of guy. Go up, catch your lobs. Certainly an elite shot blocker. So 2018, I take Robinson over Time Lord. I'm sorry to Weird Celtics Twitter. I'm not trying to take Time Lord away from you. And look, Robert Williams, I'm not saying this as
Robert Williams is never going to develop. I think he can. I certainly think he can. And a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe the answer is different. But just based on, at this point, at the end of June in 2020, with a year, not even 2 years under their belts, right now, Mitchell Robinson is ahead of Robert Williams. So right now, I'm looking at Mitchell Robinson. The 2019 draft. So Romeo Langford is so incomplete that I can't say for sure that was not a great pick, because a year or two or three from now, we don't know what Romeo is going to develop into. So I'm going to shrug on that. Is Romeo going to be good? I don't know. What do we know? What do we know? That the next pick in the draft, Sekou Doumbouya for Detroit, is a pretty tantalizing talent. I mean, he's played well. He played very well this past season. He's drawn comparisons to Pascal Siakam. You know, that's a guy that you look at and you say, okay, I can see it. I can see the Pascal kind of influence on Sekou Doumbouya. So that's something to watch. Is Sekou Doumbouya going to be better than Romeo Langford? Obviously, he was in his rookie year. We don't know what he's going to be in the second or third year. But that's something that maybe, okay? He certainly is a pretty good defensive player. The Celtics also had the 20th pick in the draft, which they used to make a trade to Philly. They selected Matisse Thybulle. And they ultimately, they traded down and they ended up picking Carson Edwards. Why don't they just keep Matisse Thybulle? I think that would be good. The Grant Williams pick, I'm going to stick with Grant Williams. I like the Grant Williams pick. So, and then in the second round, the Celtics got Tremont Waters. Now, Lugans Dort went undrafted. The OKC Thunder picked him up. He became a starter for them. They just signed him to an NBA contract. He's drawn comparisons to Marcus Smart. So I'm looking at this lineup and I'm thinking, imagine. And now I love Tremont Waters. He's a really good kid. I raved about him earlier. But imagine this scenario. Given this quick redraft that I just did, you are up 4 with 30 seconds left. You need a stop. Or you're up 3. Or you're up 2. Let's put you up 2. Where a 2 can tie and a 3 can win. And you roll up a lineup of Marcus Smart, Lou Dort, Matisse Thybulle, Jaylen Brown, and Mitchell Robinson. Who is scoring on that lineup? Smart, Dort, Thybulle, Jaylen, and Robinson. That is a monster defensive lineup. And one that was well within their grasp. Now, I say all that saying, like, Lou Dort may not become Lou Dort of OKC if he was drafted by the Celtics. If the Celtics took him in the second round, maybe he doesn't get that same opportunity. You know, that's, I've said a million times on this podcast, situation matters. And it does matter. Like, Thybulle, does he get that same situation? Does he get the same opportunity? And Mitchell Robinson, I think, does get a similar opportunity that Robert Williams got. And who knows how that works out. But I think it's fair to say that it's possible that these guys don't have the same kind of impact, but defense is defense. And Lou Dort going out there and defending the best guard every night, and Matisse Thybulle going out there and defending the best wing every time he's on the floor. That's effort. That's not going to change. You defend how you defend. So it's possible that the Celtics, given that getting Carson Edwards, and who knows what Carson becomes, getting Tremont Waters, and who knows what Tremont becomes, but looking at the alternative, Thybul and Dort in those situations, at the very least, would be huge. Now, they do have their shortfalls, but who knows? And the Romeo Sekou Doumbouya thing is going to be an interesting to watch, because that rookie years, you know, good rookie year, decent rookie year, comparisons be damned. Who knows what they become. Romeo was so unlucky at the beginning of the year, and he's totally remaking his shot. So it may take a year or two or three for Romeo to reach his full potential. So I'm gonna say the jury's still out on him. He's a project. And again, Sekou Doumbouya in Detroit gets a ton more opportunity than Sekou Doumbouya does in Boston. So I'm not going to, there is always a lot of nuance. Let's wrap this up at @is_a_joke. It's a joke. Who would get finals MVP and why is it Daniel Theis? Well, it's Daniel Theis because somebody's going to anchor this defense. And when the Celtics win the NBA championship in 2020 by shutting down LeBron and Anthony Davis, where people don't expect those guys to be shut down, it's going to be because Anthony Davis is blocked at the rim by Daniel Theis. It's going to be because Daniel Theis is rotating over and stopping LeBron from getting to the rim, right? If any Celtic is going to win MVP, finals MVP, it's probably going to be Jason Tatum. But I love the idea of Daniel Theis being finals MVP. That would be fun. And finally, from @JustinQuinn, with three N's, what's your favorite obscure fact you picked up in the deep dive pods you wouldn't have known otherwise? So as you know, if you're a follower of this podcast, we have with Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com and Chuck McKenny of RedsArmy.com been going from beginning of the Boston Celtics, 1950s, before the NBA existed, the BAA, up until now. We're up to Ray Allen leaving the Boston Celtics. We're going to continue that in the next, the Tuesday podcast. But this entire hiatus has been a big history lesson. And a history lesson for me too. I've had to do a lot of research. My favorite obscure fact that I didn't realize until I did the research for this was in 1978, the owners of the Boston Celtics traded their ownership stake